Oh Lord, how great are you indeed. And we just come with joy and praise in our hearts as we worship today. And we adore you, Father. You are almighty, all-knowing, all-present. You are God, Yahweh, the awesome God. You are mighty, you are holy, and you are eternal, the one whom angels bow to and that the earth rejoices to laud. Lord, you indeed deserve all praise and honor and glory. And we thank you, God, for loving us so much, each and every one of us, old and young, big and small, simple, complex. Lord, there is just no second class in your kingdom. And you have bought us back with your own precious blood, and you've set us free. Thank you, God, for giving us the most amazing gift to be a friend of God. Thank you, Lord, for raising us up. Thank you, God, that you have given us hope and life. And thank you for pouring your spirit upon us. Lord, we do pray that each of us may experience your presence in our lives daily and see that Christ is enough for us and all that we need. Lord, this morning we want to especially lift up to anyone who's hurting or suffering, for those who have experienced a loss or who have lost a loved one or who are jobless or homeless. Lord, please especially make your presence and peace known to them. We want to especially lift up also all the disciples of Christ around the world who suffer for their faith or are under persecution. May you especially remind them of the psalms, hymns, and scriptures as you comfort them in their place of need. And Lord, today as we look into discipleship in today's message and its implications, please lead us also deeper in our relationship with you, Lord. Let us be willing to embrace you as the yearnings and the delights of this world fade in comparison. And as we experience knowing you more, please use us in the special places you have planted us to bring about your peace and joy and salvation to those around us. God, prepare our hearts to hear the word and strengthen our faith. Please lead us into that deeper place of faith. And we want to walk with you and know you more, Lord. We thank you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
This summer, we're going through foundation stones for our church and for being believers. And today, we get to talk about authentic discipleship. What does it mean to be an authentic disciple of Jesus? That's what I want to explore this morning. And how I'm going to get through this in one talk is beyond me, but we'll try. I hope that I don't give you too much stuff, but we'll see. My intent this morning is to challenge you a bit to go deeper in being a disciple of Jesus and maybe inspire you to go deeper in following him. Now, I think this is absolutely crucial for our church, for our children, and for our culture. One commentator has said, disciples are the only numbers Jesus is counting. He's not counting attendance or budget or buildings. He's only counting disciples. So it's absolutely crucial that we understand what it means to authentically follow Jesus. Now, we also need to understand where our culture is today. It is widely understood that we have a discipleship deficit in our country and around the world. Two pieces of information drive home my point. The first is research. 20 years ago, if 10 out of 10 elementary age children were in Sunday school, how many do you think are connected to the church today, 20 years later? Raise your hand. How many of 10 out of 10, 20 years ago were in Sunday school, how many do you think are connected to the church today? What do you think? Three. We're losing 70% of young people between Sunday school and their 20s. That's worse odds than being on the Titanic, by the way. As has been said many, many times, Christianity is always only one generation from going extinct. Now, my second piece of information is a story. How many of you seen the movie Hotel Rwanda? It came out in early 2000s, yeah. It's a sobering movie about the genocide that happened in that country in 1994. That genocide claimed up to 1 million lives in only 100 days. Now, here's the amazing part, and the reason I bring it up today. When the genocide began, Rwanda as a country was considered 90% Christian. 90% Christian. In fact, the country was held up as a success story for Christian evangelization. Recently, I listened to a talk by this man, Antoine Rudisari. He's now the president of a reconciliation commission in Rwanda. He lived through the genocide. And he partly blames the Western church for it. Now, there are many factors that went into it, but according to him, the Western church shares the blame for the genocide because of our discipleship deficit. Now, we need to understand that the Western church has immense influence through the rest of the world. And according to Mr. Rudisari, the Western church brought a reductionist gospel to his country, a shallow gospel, which led to reductionist disciples or shallow disciples. So even though the country was considered 90% Christian, the form of Christianity that was believed did not prevent a genocide. Now, it's a terrifying talk. You can go out and watch it on YouTube. But it should make us sit up and take notice and rethink what it actually means to follow Jesus. Now, hold that story right there, and we'll come back to it in a little bit. Alan Hirsch says this: we have a rather anemic cultural Christianity, highly susceptible to the lures of consumerism. This, in turn, works directly against a true following of Jesus. In our desire to be seeker-friendly and attractional, we have largely abandoned the vigorous kind of discipleship that characterized early Christianity and every significant Jesus movement since. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. So what can we do? What can we do? What does it mean to be an authentic disciple of Jesus? That's what I want to explore today. And I want to start by asking a couple questions, which will lead us into the main thrust of my talk this morning. Three questions: what is a disciple? Who can be a disciple? And what does a disciple do? Those are the three questions I want to ask. First one: what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a learner, a follower, a person committed to following Jesus. Paul uses the word imitator a lot. Imitate me, he says, as I imitate Christ. Well, I like Jim Wallace's definition. It's in your worship guide there. Discipleship is an invitation to a whole new form and way of living. A transformation as radical as a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It is far more than a call to a new inner life or a rescue operation for heaven. It is an announcement of a new order of life that is intended to change everything about the world and us with it. I think that captures it. That's a disciple. There is no discipleship light option or diet discipleship. It's all or nothing. See, following Christ is supposed to define us as human beings, putting his radical call above everything else in our lives. That's authentic discipleship. The second question: who then can be disciples? Well, anyone that God has invited into this whole new order of life. All Christians are invited to be disciples. But discipleship does not end at conversion. Discipleship is a lifelong process. It takes time to mature. It doesn't happen overnight. And it brings out a couple misconceptions. First of all, a lot of people think discipleship is just about getting a ticket to heaven. No, discipleship is designed to transform us and transform our world right here and right now. It's not a rescue operation for heaven. The second misconception is that discipleship is just for pastors or super Christians. No. It's for all of us. Every follower of Jesus is invited into authentic discipleship. The word Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament, the word disciple, 269 times. Why? Because all followers of Jesus are expected to be authentic disciples. Now, what does a disciple do? That's where we'll spend the rest of our morning. Well, I think there are 2 overarching aspects to discipleship. 1, being disciples, and 2, making disciples. Matthew 4, 17 to 20, the calling of Andrew and Peter says this: from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus says, "Follow me." Authentic discipleship is following Jesus into a whole new form and way of living. It's following Jesus onto a journey we know nothing about except that he is our guide. And 2, making disciples. Captured in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Making disciples. Being intentional about making disciples. Walking alongside others as you follow him. Now, many times we read the Great Commission incorrectly. We think go is the main verb, but go is not the main verb. The single and central imperative to the Great Commission is making disciples. That's the key to the Great Commission, and that command is for all of us. We're all commanded to make disciples. So from a big picture standpoint, this is what we're invited into in being a disciple of Jesus. Being a disciple and making disciples. Now I want to explore a little bit underneath each one of those. What does a disciple look like? And to unpack that a bit, I'm going to break it down like this. The early church disciples were called to change and growth in 3 areas of life. The 3 B's: belonging, belief, and behavior. Change and growth in belonging, belief, and behavior. I want to look at each area fairly quickly today, beginning with belonging. Family Camp, we just had the announcement, is coming up. It's a great place to get a sense of belonging, but there are other opportunities at our church as well. Family Fun Day is coming up, women's Bible studies, men's retreat, home fellowships. All great places to get a sense of belonging at our church. 2 weeks ago, John Hanneman spoke on authentic community. That's the belonging part of being a disciple. Belonging to a community of believers. The New Testament knows nothing of a solitary disciple. It is impossible to be committed to Christ without being committed to his people. So an authentic disciple of Jesus puts roots down within his people and continues to grow in a sense of belonging within his people. And hopefully these last 2 weeks you've thought about that since John's talk. You've thought about finding your belonging within the church. And I'm going to defer to John's message for the rest of the details on that. Secondly, the early disciples were called to growing in belief. They were invited to know and believe the full gospel. The full gospel. And now I want to go back to our Rwanda story. Mr. Rudisari said that a reductionist gospel went into his country, which led to reductionist disciples, disciples that had a very thin level of belief. Indeed, it's been observed many times, and I've seen it in Liberia, that the gospel in Africa is thousands of miles wide and only an inch deep. And I want to explore that a little bit by showing you this picture. How many have seen this picture or something like this? The Bridge to Life. It's a common visual for evangelization, for sharing the gospel. Some of you may have come to faith through this visual. Over the last month, I've been talking to a lot of people, a lot of young adults about this picture, and everyone I've talked to knows this picture, the Bridge to Life. It's a sticky form of the gospel, and it's had huge impacts on many, many people. There are great things about this picture. It is sticky. People remember it. It's simple. It's visual. It's Jesus-centered. It's all great stuff. But when I take a step back and I take a look at this picture, it's missing huge parts of the gospel, right? It's missing huge parts. First of all, it begins with after the fall. I'm already separated from God, okay? So it's missing creation. It's missing the resurrection. Every time the apostles in Acts tell the gospel, they always harp on the resurrection. This picture is missing the resurrection. It's missing the Holy Spirit. It's missing the new creation. It's missing the church. The focus is completely on me and my private faith. It's me and God. Now, that's not a bad thing, but Jesus did say the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. But he continued and said, the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, missing that second part had disastrous effects in Rwanda. According to Mr. Rudisari, the missionaries that came into his country did not welcome other denominations. And so the Rwandans saw a Christianity that was not love, but division. Not reconciliation, but conflict. A reductionist gospel had led to reductionist disciples and did nothing to combat genocide. Now that's an extreme example, I know. But there it is. Now, my point is that authentic disciples need to continue to grow in their faith so that they know the full gospel. This is a tool, and it's a great tool, but this is for beginners. If you stop here, it's a reduced gospel. You need to know more. Okay, it's a bit like training wheels. I ride my bike to church, and my kids had fun making that picture yesterday. But if I were to still use training wheels as an adult, it would be kind of funny, right? That picture, that visual is a bit like that. It's like training wheels for sharing the gospel. Okay, so authentic disciples need to continue to grow. They need to continue to mature and know the full gospel. David Kinnaman, president of the Barna Group, a Christian research company, wrote a book called You Lost Me, Why Young Christians Are Leaving Church and Rethinking Church. In the book, he lists six top reasons why 20-somethings have left the church. Number two is because their experience of Christianity is shallow. So his quote is up there. Too many people who grew up in Christian churches, Christianity seems boring, irrelevant, and sidelined from the real issues of life. Now, this is why, as a church, we bring in people like Rick Watts. We brought in Bruce Waalke. We brought in John Stackhouse a couple years ago. This is why we bring these people in, so that we can go deeper. And I want to encourage you to come out and hear Rick Watts. He changed my life in 1998. He did a retreat for a 20s group, and I heard him for the weekend, and I still hold that weekend up as a turning point in my life. And so I want to encourage you to come out and hear him and bring the whole family. Are you committed to going deeper in your beliefs? Here are a couple thoughts, just a couple questions for you to think about in ways you can go deeper. Do you have an understanding of the entire gospel story, an understanding of the story of salvation? Especially the Jesus story. Do you know the Jesus story? Now, as you go deeper, there's also, it's the head and the heart. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing him as well. And we could do another talk on that. But the goal would be to go deeper, both in head and heart knowledge. Do you have an understanding of how to study the scriptures for yourself? Do you understand the role of the Spirit? Do you understand and do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Now, you could list a lot more things here, but just to try to get you thinking about going deeper in your beliefs. And I do think we at PBC, this is one of our gifts. We are committed to going deeper. We do expository teaching, except for the summers when we're doing topical. But this is why, so that we can grow. We don't just teach topics we like, or we don't teach just easy texts. We teach full books from a full range of scriptures so that we can go deeper. We've taught Genesis to Revelation and almost everything in between. We have Greek and Hebrew classes here at the church, which is pretty unique for a church. Bernard teaches Monday night classes through the school years that help us go deeper. So I would encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities here at PBC. Okay, so what about behavior? The early church disciples were invited to changes in and growth in behavior. And I want to draw your attention to three key statements made by Jesus. Regarding behavior, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. In other words, obedience. Obedience to his words. He said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. To be ruled by love in all of life. And lastly, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's from the vine and branches text, which Jameson Stockhouse spoke on last week. To bear much fruit. We are to be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So appropriate behavior for authentic disciples is that we would be obedient, loving, and fruitful people. Obedient, loving, and fruitful people. Now, the early church disciples chose to follow Jesus' teaching, chose not to live by the dominant values of the surrounding culture, and they had a huge impact on their culture, on the Roman world. For them, life was not dominated by the great temptations in every country, in every culture, money, sex, and power. And people took notice. The ancient world had never seen such a beauty of life. That's what they called it, a beauty of life. And people asked questions. They were attracted to Christianity, and they wondered, what is this Christianity thing all about? One second century writer said this, "The disciples' beauty of life encourages strangers to join the ranks. Their behavior had been so transformed that it was beginning to transform the world around them." Well, just a few questions regarding behavior, just to think a little bit about this morning. Does obedience to Jesus rule all of your life? Does love rule all of your life, even when the guy in front of you forgets to use his turn signal? Does love rule your life? Are you becoming more fruitful? Are you growing in character? Now, behavior also involves mission. Are you involved in the mission of the church? Going through Acts has really kept this in my mind. We're going to get back into Acts in the fall. What does it look like to be a witness for Jesus in my daily life? Are you able to share your faith? Just some thoughts. Well, that's being disciples. And we don't have much time, but let me just talk about making disciples real quickly. The second aspect of authentic discipleship, making disciples. Are you committed to walking alongside others, helping others, encouraging others to go deeper in belonging, belief, and behavior? Chris Wright says this, "The New Testament was written by disciples, for disciples, to make disciples. We are not called to make decisions for Jesus or friends of Jesus or fans of Jesus, but to make disciples of Jesus." Now, we typically in our culture like to count numbers. Did you ever notice that God was not so preoccupied with numbers? Jesus began with 12 and ended with 11. Now, that's a discipleship program. He spent 3+ years working with 12, then 11 men. We would probably be discouraged if we had done that. But it's not just about numbers. Success is not based on numbers. Success in disciple making is based on relationships. When I was the junior high pastor, I would take my staff and we would go away for a weekend, and we would talk about my ministry philosophy, which would be relationships. We would just talk about how do we build relationships with junior hires. And I would tell them, find one or three or five junior hires and just love them. Just build relationships with them. Put them in your hip pocket and walk through life with them. That's what I would tell them. Just build relationships with them. And that's every ministry here at PBC. Our ministries here at PBC are all about relationships. We sometimes don't get things done quickly around here because the leadership here believes in the statement, success is not based on numbers, it's based on relationships. Now, a couple of misconceptions about this. It's just the pastor's job. No, as we said, this is everyone's job. This is everyone's job. And that means that if you are to be discipled, you might not be discipled by a pastor. You might be discipled by another disciple. And that's okay, and that's good. That's what we're called to do. The second one is discipleship happens through programs. And there, I got my stick figures in there. Sometimes we think that if we can just put a class together and we can put unhappy people in and they'll spit out happy disciples. No, as we said, it's all about relationships. And because it involves relationships, it takes time. As with our own discipleship, making disciples is a long-term invitation. We need to take the long-haul perspective, which is hard. It's hard in our instant, busy society. But God doesn't do quick, superficial makeovers. He changes people slowly and deeply. He doesn't shove things out of sight or paint over the cracks. He changes our motivations, our self-image, our desires, our hopes, and our dreams, and he takes his time to do it properly. So are you committed? Are you committed to walking alongside others, helping them go deeper in belonging, belief, and behavior? Some churches have what's called next step pastors, pastors to help people take next steps in their faith. We don't need next step pastors. We need next step people. That's what we need. This picture is from junior high river camp. That ropes element is called Jacob's Ladder. And the way that works is you get a team of two and you have to make it up about seven of those beams. And the only way you can make it to the next step is with the help of your partner. We need next step people in our church, helping others taking that next step. So let me just give you some ideas. Talk to a few different groups this morning. If you're a parent here this morning, if you're a parent, I want to encourage you. You are the primary discipler of your children. Don't outsource it to Bunny, Joe, or Ryan. You're the primary discipler. So I encourage you to do that. If you're a single person here this morning, I want to encourage you to join a ministry where you can be a next step person in someone's life. The youth ministries, children's ministry, our church needs you. We need you to be a next step person. And you know what happens when you do that? When you get involved in these ministries, you go deeper yourself because you learn how to teach the gospel. You get a sense of belonging because you're with a group of people, a staff, or just a ministry team. It can be very powerful in your own discipleship. Or maybe just grab a couple friends and just start a Bible study. 7 or 8 years ago, a good friend of mine came up to me, and there's a few of us young dads that were together hanging out a little bit, and he said, "Hey, we should start a Bible study." I said, "Wow, great idea." And so we did. That was 7 or 8 years ago. We're still meeting, and I think I can speak for all of us that we have grown in belonging, belief, and behavior immensely. So just grab a couple friends and start a Bible study. Start a home fellowship so you can go deeper. There's just a few ideas. The point is that you become engaged and involved in disciple making. Well, we need to close. We as leadership here at PBC, we want to invite each one of you into deeper discipleship with Jesus, into deeper disciple making with Jesus. Now, if any of that makes you anxious at all, just pray that God would encourage you. Pray that God would give you desires and opportunities to go deeper with him. Pray that God would give you a specific relationship or a specific ministry where you can begin to make disciples. God delights in answering specific prayer requests. So pray that God would show you how to go deeper. And let's together see if we can begin to reduce the discipleship deficit in our culture. And now, according to the riches of his glory, may he grant that you may be strengthened by his Spirit to go deeper in your belonging, deeper in your belief, and deeper in your behavior. And that as you go, wherever you may go, you may be strengthened by his Spirit to walk alongside others and help others go deeper in belonging, belief, and behavior, so that we all may present everyone mature in Christ. Amen.